Chapter 2. Lewis, September 2021. The All Hallows site had been purchased by an American company that specialised in converting abandoned European country piles into luxury living accommodation. My employers, Redcliffe Architects, had already collaborated with them on a former tuberculosis sanatorium in Switzerland and a dilapidated chateau in the Loire Valley, both lucrative projects. Everyone at Redcliffe knew we'd be front-runners for the design work at All Hallows if we submitted a half-decent proposal. The chief partner, Mo Massoud, asked me to go to Dartmoor to take some pictures and scope out the site. It wasn't an unusual request, and normally I enjoyed nothing more than poking around historic edifices, imagining how they might be brought back to life. I was Mo's right-hand man. It was my job to go. Still, I put off the mission for as long as I could, hoping something might happen to prevent me from returning to my former school. Deep down, I knew the last-minute reprieve I prayed for wasn't going to come. No matter how I tried to put the name All Hallows and all that it represented out of my mind, like shame, it clung to me. Day by day, the sense of encroaching dread increased, and none of the usual distractions worked. I drank on school nights. I got up stupidly early to run for miles. My wife kept asking what was wrong. I couldn't tell her. It wasn't that I didn't trust her. It was simply that I did not have the vocabulary to explain what it was that was eating at me. I couldn't avoid All Hallows forever. The name popped up in the headings of emails and messages at work. A file was opened in the tenders pending folder, and draft graphics of marketing flags saying exclusive homes for sale appeared on the printer. Mo told me the Americans had asked for a meeting the following week. We needed the information. We needed it now. The day I drove to Dartmoor was a typical early autumn day, the sky moody, a sullen rain falling. As I passed the once noble sculpture of the giant Withy Man at the side of the M5 in Somerset, I remembered how, as we drove this same motorway more than three decades earlier, Mum used to put on a Now That's What I Call Music cassette to keep me and my sister Isabel entertained, and we'd all sing along. Mum had a friend who owned a static caravan on a site outside Newquay. We used to spend our summer holidays there, Isabel, Mum and I, bodyboarding, picnicking on the beach, sitting round campfires on chilly evenings, listening to the waves crashing onto the sand. Dad never came with us. Isabel and I used to feel sorry for him, all alone at home working while we were having fun, but Mum said he preferred it that way. The reed beds that used to surround the Withy Man were gone now, and he was dwarfed by development. A melancholy descended on me as I passed him, poor fading thing. I put some of Isaac's music on, turned the volume up loud to try to drown out the memories of the boy I used to be. The journey from Bristol that day was straightforward, but once on Dartmoor, I struggled to find the route back to my old school amongst the tangle of lanes. The landmarks I thought I recognised, stone stacks, brooks and copses, turned out to be red herrings. Soon I was disorientated, and I felt the old anxiety lurking around me, a creeping, bony-fingered thing. I bumped the VW along rutted old lanes that went nowhere and carried out harried nine-point turns in muddy gateways, beady-eyed sheep staring at me while their jaws rotated like teenagers chewing gum. There was no signal for the Maps app on my phone. If the developers decided to go ahead with this project, access would be a nightmare. These ancient country byways had not been designed to cope with flatbed lorries weighed down by materials. A steady rain fell now, dulling the colours and blurring the verges and the dry stone walls. It felt as if hours had passed before, at last, I found the turning to All Hallows at the end of a narrow, unkempt road. I followed the track and the